Why does monkeys look like my grandma? Is what somebody just asked. What do you think about that, monkeys?
Maybe I am your grandma. You don't know.
Damn. Got him. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Yeah. I'm playing some dotes, all that kind of stuff. I hear your dog barking. How's the dog?
They're chilling, just, you know, living life. Yeah, I don't know.
So yeah, you told me you were gonna come visit. Is that still happening?
I mean, it could. I would probably have to take like a train to come up to visit you, because my car is not in good enough shape to travel long distances right now.
I see.
But it could still happen for sure.
Okay, guys, he's teasing me. So
I'm just saying, my car is actually like on its last legs, man. It's not doing too hot. I'm gonna have a new car by like the end of the year, but you know.
Have you guys ever like had a girl you were interested in and you asked her on a few dates, and then every time you asked her out, she just gave you like, this weekend my family's in town, you know, I gotta go do my project, and every time there's just a different excuse. Yeah, somebody in chat, classic excuse. That's just how it is.
I said I would have to take the train. There are plenty of trains that go from me to New York. I feel like that's not even that bad.
Somebody said, yeah, that guy's grandma did that. Oh, that's good shit, dude. So what's in the future for you, man? You know, you wrapped up the qualifiers. Any plans with the team and such?
I mean, there's literally nothing to do, so it's just gonna be streaming. Like, I don't know. if you're not going to TI at this point, like every team is just taking a break. Like,
telling us you're disbanding or what?
No, I don't know. Like there's always a shuffle, right? So like, you never know like what offers or players get. And
so a lot happens at qualifiers. You know, a lot of this shit happens. My question is, whose fault was it?
I guess my own. I suck, BSJ. Sad.
That wasn't the spicy answer I'm looking for, monkeys, but obviously you can give us that. It's fine. Yeah. But you have any trips coming up? Anything like that?
There's a lot of people that I want to like visit and stuff, but you know, nothing's like set in stone. You know, you're
like
gonna,
me, for instance.
Yeah. You're gonna like bail on me last minute or something. Be like, I actually don't want to see you, monkeys. And I'll be like, yeah, that's all right.
No, there's a few things I have in mind.
What's more important?
There's a few things I have in mind that I'd like to have a nice day hanging out. But yeah, so chat, I know you're gonna go places with that. Just shut up. But so in cool news for the Dota scene, we got the European and the Chinese qualifiers coming up. The Chinese qualifiers are going on right now. Actually, I was watching a bit of Elephant's Game. Are you going to watch those at all, or what are you thinking?
I'll definitely watch some of the EU qualifiers. I mean, I feel like both of those qualifiers are pretty stacked, honestly. So There will definitely be some good games. I'm not going to like religiously follow them or anything, because I mean, I don't know. I just failed to qualify. Just failed to qualify for TI, so I'm just, you know, it's time to just take a bit of a step back and just, you know, chill a bit, but I'll definitely keep my eye on it.
Who do you think's going to win the EU qualifiers?
EU?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, with the addition of Sumail, I'm gonna just cop out and say OG.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking too.
Don't get me wrong. Like, Ana is obviously a great player, but Ana just did not like really show up this time, in my opinion. And I honestly think Sumail will like. I don't know. Sumail at least has a hunger again, in my opinion. I don't think Ana really had the hunger.
You know, I was actually talking about Anna yesterday on stream, and it was because somebody mentioned that they hadn't played Dota in like a year or two. They were like 5K and they just came back and they dropped like 1,000 MMR or something. And I was just like, dude, like there's, it's not like riding a bike. You can't do that in Dota. Like, you just suck. Like, the biggest thing is the laning stage, I think. I think past the laning stage, I have chocolate on my lip. The stuff is kind of similar. You know, team fights don't really change too much from like patch to patch, all that kind of stuff. Well, like specific lane matchups and like small timings in the first like 10 to 15 minutes. Dude, Ana's laning stage was atrocious. Like,
it wasn't good.
Dude, two-time TI winner, and I'm watching him die like two or three times in lane. And yeah, it's just crazy how that's just how punishing and brutal Dota is as a game. And you're right. I agree. I don't think he really had the hunger to like, I think he posed himself with this dilemma of, do I go all in? Do I feel like doing this for TI10 again? And it seems like the answer was no. So
I think the difference between this comeback for him and the first two or whatever you want to call it for the TI8 and TI9 iterations was he was still playing a shit ton of like unranked
party queue and stuff, and
like, like nonstop. But I think if I remember correctly, this time he actually just didn't touch Dota for like nine plus months or something, and then he just came back and he's playing on OG again, and like they're just expecting him to like be the same Ana, and it's just like, nope, sorry, didn't really put any time in touching this game recently. So I think that definitely played a huge part in it. And like, I mean, you look at Sumail, and I mean, this man has been grinding Dota nonstop for the past like year and a half. Actually, I think it did take like a bit of a break recently because he was seamless, but I remember specifically when there was the party queue era in like 2019 or something, where everyone was doing like 3 to 5 man party queue stacks, and like actually find ranked games doing that.
Good times.
I would queue into Sumail all the time, and Axe was meta that time. I would try and blink call Sumail at like every single game as Axe, and he would just manta dodge it flawlessly. Like, it got to the point that I would not blink call Sumail anymore because he would just manta dodge it every time, and I would just die, and I'd be like, it's not worth it for me to go on this player anymore.
Like, I mean, it just sounds like you're just a boomer. That's kind of like
because it has a 0.4 cast time. That's like one of the longest cast times for stuns. So like, he would just hear the sound bite or whatever, and he would just instantaneously manta dodge it every time if it was ever showing, and I was just like, I'm going to get outplayed if I go for Sumail. Like, there's no other way to put it.
Yeah, I've laned many a times versus Sumail in the mid lane, and part of it was like a shame. It was almost shameful that like he went to carry, and I don't remember what year he moved to carry. Maybe it was 2019,
and it was that
and era. He was just better at carry than I was, and I was just like, man, that just feels bad. Because you know what it reminds me of was that back in high school when I ran track, I was the fastest person in my division in the 400 meter. I was actually second fastest, okay? So what happened was, this is going to be as TLDR as possible, but I feel you got to give a little context. There was, this is legit like a script to a movie. There was one guy, junior year, so like that's the second to last year for all the non-Americans out there. Junior year, there was this one guy that beat me in every single race, okay? And I was newer to track. Like, junior year was my first year, and he was more of like a regular main sport was track, and I spent the entire year slowly getting closer to him, but he was still like a solid gap ahead of me. We go into the senior year and the same thing, we like resume where we left off, and I'm like slowly catching him throughout the course of the entire year, and then for state meet he comes down with the flu. So I have like the freest state win of all time. You know, I won the division because the freest state win of all time. And but the cool thing was we ended up doing a meet, like an all-star meet afterwards, like that was meant to like be like college scouting meet, and I beat him there. And I also ran the fastest time of the state, except, okay, are you ready? Except for this one guy that was a sophomore. So he was 2 years younger than me, and he didn't even run the 400. Like, he was a 100-meter hurdler. Oh, and his and his team just said, or his school said, we need you to run the 400 for points. Like, we need you to run it for state points. And it's a sophomore, and he just ran the fastest time. Now, now, if you guys are curious, the guy that did that, his name is Devin Allen. Look him up. He made it to the Olympics in 2020.
Oh, really?
Fucking 100-meter hurdle, literally fastest time in the U.S. So that made me feel a little bit better. Okay. So it's similar here. You know, you have TI winner on one side. You have a guy that went to the Olympics on the other. But you're like, damn, that's just not fair. You know, like these guys are just, they're prodigies, dude. Like you watch Sumail, he picks up the carry roll and he just owns. And I'm just like, what the fuck? I actually learned a lot from him because he applied like his really aggressive mid lane play, because like, you know, he's the guy notable for bullying people in the mid lane. He applied it a lot to the way he plays carry. You'll see him showing up to all the fights and stuff. I think he fits in really well with OG, and
for sure.
I like that. I liked the dynamic at the major because I met, you know, I was hanging out with Liquid a little bit, and they were all really good buds with Sumail. Like, they all loved playing with him. He seemed to have a really good time playing with them. And he's like, now he's got all their strats, so now he's going over to OG. It was definitely one of the most awkward ambiances in a room ever, because they had just gotten knocked out, so they knew they weren't going directly to TI. And they knew that it could very well be each other knocking each other out of TI.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if it's just like Nygma makes it or whatever, then it doesn't work that way. But you're in this room of all these guys that are playing on a team together, and one of them... You can't go to the TI. Both of you can't go.
Yeah.
It was a very.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of funny that you say that Sumail brought a lot of his like aggressive mid play styles to carry, because like when I would play pubs with him after he switched to carry, I'm used to a lot of my carries being like crying for space and being like, I need a farm. But like you get Sumail on your team in a pub and he gets like one item and then he's just screaming at you to just like go and fight, come here, fight them. And like if you're not like under the enemy tier 3 towers, he's just like, what are we doing? We're so bad. They're alive. They need to die.
I just remember him as the Faceless Void with no chrono running around fighting people. And I was just like, okay, you know, he does have time dilation and such.
He really does fit in with OG like so well.
Yeah, it's like the thing about, I think, getting better at Dota is the better and better you get, the more minuscule the power advantage has to be for you to be able to capitalize on it. You know, it's like, pretty much any AK 9K player can get like a BKB or a blink dagger and say like, let's go. But like the thing about Sumail that made a big difference for me was that he would recognize the most minor, like just teeny eeny little advantages that his team would have. And he'd say, well, even though I don't have chrono, let's go fight them. Yeah. And it's just really cool to play with, because like people at the highest level, they think of so many variables, and when you hear them say it, it seems so obvious. And I feel like a lot of things are like Dota in that sense. It seems so obvious when somebody gives you the answer, but before you know the answer, it seems really hard.
Yeah.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's UNIFYDHealing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
But we're just here fanboying Sumail. We got ourselves Nygma as well. Are you counting them out? You know, you mentioned OG.
I mean, no, I'm of course. Like I think any number of the EU teams like could definitely or like obviously I would say OG, Liquid, and Nygma are like, you know, top three, right? But I mean, I wouldn't entirely count out teams like Tundra or Viking GG either. Like, you know, Viking GG, they have Kezu. I know he's a very experienced shot caller. And the rest of Viking GG have obviously proved throughout the years that, you know, they can show up and take games off of the best. And, you know, Tundra, I think they did, like, okay at the ESL tournament that happened right after the major. So, like, you know, you can't entirely count these teams out by any means. Like,
now Chad has a really good point. What about Team Bald Reborn?
Oh yeah. Sorry, I forgot. Obviously, Gorp is one of the most veteran players in all of Europe, and he really is there to prove what he's been raging about in pubs over all these years.
That's true.
You know, he's gonna.
Can you settle down with your genuineness and hype a little bit? Just chill. It's making me. I'm trying to like hold it in until tomorrow in terms of excitement, and you're definitely getting me a little too excited.
What was that one clip of? He's like, he was playing against like Zai's Pango, I think, and he was Bloodseeker. And Zai just procced like three times under a tier one tower and he just died from like three quarters HP to like a two hit Pango or something. And like, at any point, he could have just walked away and not die. But instead, he just keeps right clicking him. And then he just rages that he dies.
You're committed at that point. That reminds me of the story of why I never played Lone Druid ever. Yeah. So like back when I was playing Dota and I was playing mid a lot with my friends and I was playing Lone Druid mid and the guy was like pushing my tier one tower and I started hitting him with the bear and I was like, if I killed, like I had a support like coming up behind me, like one of my own supports, and I'm like, if my bear roots, this guy's gonna die. And my bear straight up hit this guy all the way from my tier one. I dove him to his fucking tier two, okay? And it never rooted. I rage bought back and walked down mid. You know, I'm not proud of that one. That was a long time ago. But I swore to never fucking play Lone Druid again because I'm like, how can I not root this guy? You know, what a bullshit hero. This hero sucks. And that was the story behind, you know, when people ask me why I don't pick Lone Druid, that's the reason.
I see. I was kind of like forcibly or forced into playing Lone Druid during one of like the Basit in-house leagues or something. I would get Mason as my captain like all the time, and I was playing offlane at the time. Maybe this was 3 years ago.
Mason's very strategic, longer. Yeah.
But no, but like it was one of those like just super farm heavy metas where like, you know, your offlaner would just be like some zoo hero, and everyone would be some farmer, and then with your first like one or two items, you just deathballed and like ended the game. And I literally before that in-house league, I had like never played Lone Druid, and then I got Mason as my like captain, maybe like 10 games in a row or something in this in-house league, and it's just like. Like he would just first pick Lone Druid and be like, oh yeah, I know Monkeys Forever plays a great Lone Druid. And like he just would pick it for me like every game without even asking. He's like, yeah, I know Monkeys plays Lone Druid. I'm just like, I've literally never touched this hero before in my life, but all right, let's go. Lone Druid play here. Like, woo!
Yeah, I remember NEL, man. Those were my glory days. I just picked Troll and Sniper before anyone else knew they were broken, and I won NEL.
What about Huskar?
I did pick some Huskar, but it was like maybe one out of like 7 or 8 games it was Huskar. You know, it was a lot of Troll Warlord and Sniper, and then, you know, that's one of those.
I remember the Troll Sniper patch.
Yeah, everyone has those patches where they love a hero and they tried the hero like the first 2 days of the patch or something, and they just happen to stumble upon something that's like completely broken, and that was me. You know, that was me. I was the guy that stumbled upon greatness.
Around that era was Storm and Terrorblade for me. Terrorblade was so broken back then. Like, actually so ridiculously broken. Like, Reflection had 100% damage output or whatever.
And it wasn't purgeable.
Yeah, it wasn't purgeable.
I remember your 404 Reflection.
Yeah. And it was just, like, so nutty. You actually, like, you could max Reflection, and you would just put it on a hero, and they would lose over half of their health to just an illusion they couldn't do anything about. They're just like, oh, I'm getting hit. Oh, damn, I'm still getting hit. Oh, my God. It lasted for, like, 7.5 seconds. It just kept going. And
just buy a Ghost Scepter.
But it was, like, so insane. And then, like, I don't know. It was on such a low cooldown, too. Oh, my God. I love Terrorblade Black.
Yeah, there was that one patch when they added Talents that Terrorblade's Reflection got, like, minus 10 seconds on his cooldown, a little 20. It was, like, legit 100% uptime. Dude.
It was so good. It was actually so nutty. Like, I can't believe how good Terrorblade was for so long, and people just slept on that hero. Like, that hero, like, could have been first phaseable for, like, so long. Like, that hero got exclusively nerfed for so many patches.
You know that Huskar used to have 99.9% magic resistance at, like, low HP? And not until they nerfed that did people start picking him. I was so confused. So I remember demoing in What the Fuck mode. You could have a Skywrath Mage consistently E-blading and dropping, the Solar Flare things. And as long as the Huskar had used his heal, he would live. and no way, like, he would be sitting there like 100 HP, but he would live. And I was dude, this is so dumb. And what happened was the patch after that, they nerfed it. So it's like at lowest HP, it's like 86% magic res. It was like really high still, but not nearly the same as 99%. That's when people started picking him. It was like during TI, Quals, and TI, he started getting picked. I think it was like TI 5 or 6. And I was just like, I was winning competitive matches. If people look back on my, like, competitive career, dude, I won like 7 out of 8 games on Huskar. And if you know much about my competitive career, that means Huskar was broken. All right. That means Huskar was broken.
Dude, I won games on, like, it was after I switched to offlane, and I still pretty much only knew how to play mid and carry heroes because I was a mid player for 4+ years. And I switched to offlane, and I would win games with Terrorblade offlane because there was, like, a Luna meta. So I would just pick Terrorblade against Luna. It was a Luna SD meta. And I would just win the game because I would have 3 Lunas and they would also have 3 Lunas, but my Lunas couldn't be stopped.
Your Lunas had 100% damage too.
Yeah, so they just killed their team for me, and I'm like, yeah, go Terrorblade.
You keep farming those items, Luna. We're gonna let you have this one.
Like, seriously, I would go like Hurricane Pike first item, and that would be my hero. I would just be a walking Sunder and Luna creator, and that was my strategy, and it worked.
Yeah, I remember I was playing offlane one game recently, and I was like owning. I was like Timbersaw or something, and I was like pressuring the enemy tower, and I had booted the Terrorblade out of lane, and it was like 7 minutes in, and he comes back with like 2% HP. I'm like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And then he just sunders me, and I die. I got like 4-man ganked, and I was like, what the fuck? I just got Sunder ganked at like 6 minutes in. Dude. It actually won them the game too. I was like,
there actually was a time that I played like pause 4 Terrorblade, I think it was. And literally what I would do was I would level 1 meta, zone the enemy mid hero for like 2 creep waves because meta lasted for like so long. And then I would rush a blink dagger. and I would get low to Ancients, and then I would blink in, sunder their mid or carry hero, and just instantly pop them. And that was my strategy. And I had like over a 70% win rate doing that. I either did that, or I would blink in and like sunder my carry and like put him back to full health and be like, keep on trucking, man. Just keep going. You'll get him.
That's the eternal envy sunder right there, sundering your teammates back to full HP.
Yep.
I had some fun games with Eternal Envy the last couple of days. My question would be, have you been dealing with account buyers at all? Like, have you had them in your games, like, noticeably?
I mean, there's definitely been some people who I would, be suspicious of. Okay. But, like, no one that is, like, definitively, like, I know you're an account buyer.
So, last night I queued at, like, 3 a.m., and Eternal Envy and I were on the same team. And we had some guy who's like rank immortal, like no number around his name. Mm-hmm. And he first picks mid Zeus. And I'm like, and he stole it from like a rank 90 player. He's like a pretty high net ranked player. Oh. And I was just thinking, I'm like, this is not a good start to the game. So the guy loses mid by like 3 levels. Okay. And I swear to you, he looked like a bot, like in the game, like, like I'm not saying a bot account, like a legit like bot. I couldn't believe it. The guy in a 59 minute game of Zeus had the 6th highest hero damage in the game.
How
and 200 and 200 CS.
That's so
mid Zeus in a 59 minute game at 200 CS, and his neutral item was an ironwood tree. I was just like, I mean, the game, I had fun with it. I had a lot of fun because I was Leshrac offlane, and I just realized right away I had no mid laner. He lost. He was like level 5 to the Invoker's level 8. I was like, okay, I definitely have no mid laner here. So I just rushed to Yule's, and all I did was go kill somebody and have no mana and then go back to base and then like walk out and kill somebody again and have no mana. And the game just devolved into just some crazy ass shit. And we're and every time Zeus pushed ult, I'm like, you're doing great, buddy. Just push up. And then my chat saying shit like, you and Eternal Envy took his farm and you took his spell prism. That's why he still had the ironwood tree.
Lots of copium.
Dude, there was a lot of funny shit that was going on. And but I just mentioned count buyers because like I've had some wild ass games the last few days. Like maybe when I say a few days, I mean like a week or two. Account buyers, people feeding down mid from the very start, like literally nothing happens.
I think especially it's like after TI qualifiers in every region, like there's going to be a lot of players who are just like depressed after TI qualifiers.
Dude, there was one game, Zero was offlane. This was right after he lost to E, and he just randoms Kunkka and then sits on top of the creep wave with boots. He literally just sat there, dude. I was like, yeah. Are you all right, dude? And then he just said, I'm emo. And I was like, yeah. Okay. You know, right. We obviously won that game.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, like, I don't know. I specifically did not touch pubs for a few days after losing calls because I'm just like, I don't want to unintentionally grief or anything. I'm definitely emotional right now. So I'm just going to like, you know, chill. Definitely helped as well that like 4th of July happened. So I went to like a friend's campfire and just like chilled and drank some and, you know.
That sounds nice. That sounds like a good de-stress decompressor.
Yep, for sure.
I actually lost a game yesterday where the opponent tri-lane mid to start.
Well, that's certainly a strat.
I started buying like straight ags on gyro, no other items, because I'm like, I'll just end this game. And then they started playing and I did like 2 stupid things. And suddenly the opponent has like real net worth because we were so far ahead. And then we lost.
Yeah, literally 2 deaths is like equal net worth now, because that's just how kills work.
Yeah. And I was just like, dude, this is so depressing, man. I just lost to enemies that try lane mid for like the first 2 minutes. I literally had no lane opponent for the first 2 minutes of the game. It was real bad. I've realized that like people get mad that you don't end the game right away. People get mad that you're like trying really hard when the game's like somebody's throwing, but like you will legit lose games if you just lose focus for like a minute.
Dude,
you just lose.
I played a game against, it was like Oracle, Arc Warden, Lesh, and like my team had maybe a 15K plus net worth lead by like 25 minutes. I was playing with Woo Dota and Moose. So like both of my supports were really active supports. Yeah. I was playing Pango. Like we're just running around the map nonstop, kill, kill, kill. But it like by like 25, 30 minutes, we tried to high ground and it's just double arc ward and bubble and
less shard.
Less shard. And it's just like, we just couldn't do anything. It's just like, we can't touch your base. And they just didn't leave their base. All they did was send an arc ward and clone out.
Did you win the game?
No, we lost because literally our Ursa, he got bored or something and he just like walked up the high ground and he just died in a really stupid way and he didn't have buyback. And then we just lost the game. Like, we actually just lost.
Lesh is like the new Tinker, man. If you play against Lesh, you have to act like you're going high ground against a fucking Tinker because that shard is stupid.
Yeah, but then like they have a viable lineup as well because it's a Lesh Arc Warden. So like you're just playing against two heroes that just like protect the entire high ground unless you kill them, and they have an Oracle on the team and it's IX Mike, so he's just like literally sitting in Fountain with a blink dagger and he's like, I'll get my ult off, don't you worry guys. And it's like, how do we win the game?
There's actually a really easy way to end the game there.
What's that?
So I remember playing a party queue game. This was in EU. And we were against, I don't remember what heroes we were against, but something very similar. And I was Axe, and I went Octarine Core Meteor Hammer. Like 70 minutes into the game. Because we legit could not force them to fight us. I don't remember what they had, but we could not push high ground. I think they had an Arc Warden.
Yeah.
And we went, like, the Octarine gives you lower cooldown and cast range. So then we had Fogged as Pudge, so I would channel the Meteor Hammer from max range and he would hook me while I'm channeling the Meteor Hammer. And so you're asking how you deal damage to towers through Lesh Shard and Arc Warden.
That's smart.
You don't have enough creativity, monkeys. You need the Octarine Core Meteor Hammer on two people. You know what happened in that game? They ignored us for 20 minutes. I bought Octarine Core Meteor Hammer and they came out of their base trying to kill me and then they all died and then we won the game. I was 9 slotted and I forgot to put the Meteor Hammer like back in my backpack, so I'm just like taking a team fight at 70 minutes with a Meteor Hammer. But
Did you have Fear Stone?
No, we didn't get. I had Giant's Ring. I remember I had Giant's Ring. Okay. No Seer Stone. The Giant's Ring was hilarious though because I was just an Axe with Manta and like Giant's Ring. Dude, that was a good time.
I mean, Octarine, Searstone, Meteor Hammer, that would be like 1,000 plus cast range.
Tinker Bounty Hunter, that's what it was. They were tracking us and shooting us with rockets. That's what it was. I remember that. Yeah, that was a good time. Not really.
The Tinker didn't have like, wait, does he still have the mini sun rocket talent?
He does
like interrupt your meteor cast.
But that's where the hook came in, monkeys. Where the Pudge hook came in. They probably took the laser damage talent or some shit and didn't take the rockets.
I mean, they weren't expecting the Meteor Hammer Octarine tech. Like, what can you do?
It's just thinking two steps ahead, monkeys.
Sometimes BSJ just comes in your game and he just big brains it up.
Dude, I know for a fact I pissed Mike off so much today. So, I, for whatever reason today, I was dwelling on teammates' mistakes. I wasn't happy. I had to mute myself. And what happened was I had a guy on my team that played Lesh and he lost mid by like 3 levels. We lost our tower. And then the next game he's on the other team and he's crushing mid. He's like 3 levels ahead and he took my tower at like 6 minutes. And I'm like, what the fuck? So then I just tilted for like what I just dwelled on that and I tilted. And Mike was on my team on that game and I tilted. And then the next game after that, Mike's on my team again and he picks Magnus. So I pick PA third, fourth, and the enemy team also picks Mag. So then I'm just PA without a Magnus. And then we lose all 3 lanes and we lose the fucking game. And I'm like, well, that's epic. And then the next game, he's on the other team. And I just decide to YOLO and pick Carry Leshrac. And then the kill score is like 11-2 in our favor. And his team is like running down mid feeding, saying the game over in mid. And so I just like Mike just lost every fucking game today. And I know for a fact when I was on his team, I did not play well. And then the game I'm on the other team, I'm like beyond godlike Carrie Lesher.
I had Mike times. On my team one game today. It was actually my last game of the day, and I basically got guilted into playing Carrie. And the only carry hero that I like remotely remember how to play is Terrorblade. So I just picked Terrorblade third, fourth, and the enemy team just has CK Mirana. And I just got full to zeroed like four times in the first 3 minutes.
You gotta learn to block that arrow with your illusions, dog.
Well, I mean, it was just bad. I didn't even get to illusions basically because like at level one I kind of griefed myself by like taking reflection because I got gone on
classic
and then I got meta level two and I died like three times before I even got a point. I was dying so much and I'm just like oh god I'm like just get me out of this game. I don't want to play carry. I don't want to farm for 40 minutes. I don't want to do any of the shit. Like just get me out of this game.
Dude, the carry meta right now is definitely really boring. It's like, there's like eight heroes that are even remotely viable. There's like three super broken ones. And you
just farm on all of them.
And you just hit a lot of fucking creeps. And that's it. I feel like whatever carry is allowed to hit creeps freely at like 10 minutes wins, no matter what happens. And then if you're the carry that can hit creeps, you're on this like uphill battle for the entire game. You get kills upon kills and the other guy's still out farming you and you lose the game anyway. As long as the carry's alive, you lose.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I've felt.
It's and then especially when there's like an Oracle in the game or a Wyvern or some shit, like you have to kill that hero before the carry as well. Cause like, You cannot kill a carry through those heroes. You just can't do it. It's not doable. So then, like, you have to do the impossible and, like, find a wyvern that's, like, hiding on a cliff or something, or an oracle with a blink dagger aether lens, like, sitting, you know, 8 miles behind their Medusa that's six slotted, and you're just like, how do I even do this? Like,
dude, Medusa is one of the most boring heroes in all of Dota, man. It's not just that, like, playing Medusa is boring, but like the game plan that is presented when there's a Dusa in the game. Is the Dusa team allowed to walk down a lane as five? If the answer is yes, you lost. Like, how do you ever beat a Dusa that walks down lanes with their team? Like, you can't go on the Dusa because she's got like a bajillion effective HP, and you can't go on anyone else because she just pushes Stone Gaze and you're fucked.
Like
so,
in the TI qualifiers, hero. My team played against four Zoomers game three, and we didn't ban Dusa for whatever. I remember saying in the last ban phase, I'm like, if we don't ban Dusa, they're gonna pick Dusa. And then my team's like, oh, Drow looks really annoying here, and I'm like, well, maybe that's true, but they're gonna pick Dusa, and they picked Dusa. They had like Medusa morphling cores with like a Dark Willow, and I was Axe. So literally, all I could do, the only hero I could jump. Is the morphling. Like, I went a blade mail for it and everything. So, like, if Morph ever went into Dark Willow form and became Morph, I just jumped Morph with blade mail and Morph would kill himself. And it just got to a point that Dusa would just literally just walk at us.
Just had a Scotty and just
literally go, like, please go on me. And, like, there was just a stalemate for, like, 5 minutes of us just looking at each other, just no one doing anything. And all we could do is see the Dusa and no one else. And it's just like, fuck, man. Like, I want to make something happen, but there's just a Dusa there. There's just a wall that we can't get past.
Yeah, that's Dusa Dota for you. It's like the Alchemist. It's like you have to change the entire way you play the game just because there's a Dusa in the game, and it just grinds my gears. I also hate playing Dusa, so like any patch of Dusa
it's not fun.
I don't want her in the game. I've been stubborn too because I wasn't playing for like a month and a half. So like any hero that's meta right now, if I didn't already play it, I've kind of been like stubborn not to play it. And I should honestly just man up and like lose 10 games in a row of playing Dusa just to like, you know, get the reins of her timings and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just too stubborn. What can you do?
I'm kind of curious to see with like the EU qualifiers and, well, I mean, maybe even TI, like I'm assuming TI would be mostly on this patch. Like maybe they do a letter patch or something to like slightly nerf stuff. But I'm curious to see if like China and Western Europe kind of devolves into the same meta that NA had, because like NA literally came down to Deuce a Terror Blade. Either they're banned or they're picked. Like every game, like they need to be banned basically. Like all like first phase, because you know, just that's at least in NA, that's like what every carry player just like thrives on. Like Sammy Boy loves those two heroes. Eternal Envy loves those two heroes. Who else am I missing from like the
does Tomato love those?
Yes, Tomato did love that. I think they abused Carry Axe pretty well. Undyne did. But yeah, Tomato also loves Dusa and Terrorblade. But also, I think Undyne, they were like a more in-depth team, because I'm pretty sure when they played against Zoomers, they just banned Dusa, Terrorblade themselves. And then Tomato still had plenty of heroes that they were comfortable with. And those two heroes are definitely like the main Sammy Boy, like, I'm gonna carry the game heroes or whatever. But
yeah,
I'm curious to see if that same or like a similar-esque meta kind of develops in the other regions, or if that was mainly just a NA thing.
Somebody in chat mentioned Arkosh. What do you think of the fact that they kicked Aoi like right after the qualifiers?
I all I can say is he deserved it. I mean, I've personally met Aoi. Have I met him? I don't know if I've met him. I actually don't think I've ever met him, but I've spoken to Aoi a lot, and you know, very toxic human being. Like I really don't blame the Argosh players at all.
Yeah, there's a reason why he got kicked after winning TI5. Yeah. I have to imagine there was like some reasoning behind why he got kicked, even though like clearly it wasn't his fault in the qualifier. I watched their games. They're trash, so it's fine.
Yeah. Agreed, VSJ, agreed. Hard agree.
Aoi 2000, more like toxic, more than 9000. Yeah, that's true, dude. Greater than 9000. Nah, I'm sure somebody like Aoi, like, it's hard to speak in demon tongues, especially when you're new to it. So when he's practicing that, I'm sure is getting in the way of his ability to actually play Dota normally.
I liked his interview that he did that made it to Reddit, and he's like, yeah, I just kind of said pick me Kunkka 5 and I thought it was trash, but you know, who was the drafter? Pale Horse, I think, is like, yeah, but Pale Horse, he just kind of trusted me and picked it anyway. So, you know, as soon as that hero was picked, I knew we lost. But
I didn't see this interview. I'll have to go look that up. Did somebody interview him about his time on Arkosh? Is that like what happened?
Yeah, basically.
I see. I'll have to go check that one out. I'm sure Aoi had some interesting words. I think one of the funniest things I ever saw was the Arkosh roster picture. Did you see that shit?
Yeah. that one definitely made me smile.
It's just four demonic like fucking creatures and Aoi.
Just Aoi just smiling.
Dude, Slacks is just a goober, man. We, Arkosh Gaming, tried to convince the TI10 admin Canis Vulpes was dead. Oh, let me look at this picture real quick. Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, I'll show my chat this just in case they... Oh, that's good shit. That's good shit.
That's true. The thank God when Arkosh lost, that was a good one too from Aoi. the Arkosh members GG'd out, and now it's like, oh, thank God it's over. I don't want to play anymore.
Yeah, rumor has it he was getting tired of the casting and playing, so he was like having some long days.
Yeah.
That's just what I heard rumor was. Shaggy's basically dead the first 12 minutes of the game. Dude, now people are just being mean. Like, I don't even know who Shaggy is. Is he talking about Canis Vulpes? Maybe. But, yeah, so with that being said, monkeys, we did take 15 days to have a podcast since the last one.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, you never met or messaged me on the Monday that you said you were going to message me. I said I'd do it, and you never followed through, so.
But what if I wanted you to come to me, monkeys?
What? When has that ever been how this works?
That's true. I just wanted you to tell me that you, like, show me that this means something to you, monkeys.
I mean, I love doing this with you, BSJ, but I mean, I'm sorry, you're just not going to get that sort of initiative out of me.
Is this how girls feel in relationships? I feel like I'm the girl in this case here, where I'm saying all I want is a little bit of effort out of you, and the guy says, I'm not going to chase, and then that's it.
I mean, maybe, VSJ, maybe.
This is how that guy's grandma felt? True. Very true. That's something to contemplate. So, monkeys, I've got something cool coming up. I'll tell you about it, and then we'll call it a day. I am planning a nice little trip. I mean, Collie knows, so it's not like some secret. We're going to Niagara Falls.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, cool. we've never been, so... We're just going to go for like a couple of days. We're going to do like the boat ride underneath the falls and kind of stuff. So going to make sure we get a cool little trip in before I go off to the Netherlands. Might have my place scouted out tomorrow. Fingers crossed. You're going to go visit me. I know you are. So it's good.
Well, unless you're doing cool shit, like going to Niagara Falls, like then we'll have to see.
Somebody in chat lives near Niagara Falls, kind of. It's lit, is what she says. Yeah, no, I never went to the Grand Canyon, despite living in Arizona for 21 years of my life, or whatever. So...
That doesn't really surprise me, in all honesty.
Yeah, the fact that it's, like, right there is, like, there's just something about it that you just don't care to go, because it's... Mm-hmm. You just know I could go at any time, and then because of that, you never go.
Yeah.
Which, in this case, now that I'm in the Northeast, which I've never really been, it's like, well, there's all these things that are just right here. Now, one thing I miss is Vegas, because I just love poker and the whole atmosphere of Vegas and craps, yeah. And now I'm like, well, shit, there's like literally nowhere to go other than Atlantic City, and that's like a 3-hour bus ride, so that's a lot longer than anything I'd imagine. So man, it's funny how you take things for granted, whatever they may be. But now I'm like, oh, there's Niagara Falls, like right there. It's in the same state. It's pretty far away, though. It's like a 6-hour drive.
Oh, like really?
An hour and a half flight. Pretty far.
Yeah, I've never been to Niagara Falls either, or the Grand Canyon, but I've done a lot of like hiking and stuff with my dad over the years. Have you ever heard of Acadia National Park in Maine?
I have heard of this, but I've never been there.
They have like a ton of like great hiking trails there, and I've literally done like every single one of them with my dad and like some other family members and stuff. So, and then like I've also gone to other hiking places throughout the states. My dad was a very big traveler when I was growing up, and he owned
my parents were travelers too. Yeah,
he owned a Volkswagen van, like one of those like big ass vans that like had like the pop out top that you could like camp in and stuff. And we would literally just like get in that. He named the car Bertha. And we would literally just road trip across the states in Bertha.
Something about like vehicles having names, is it like guitars having names? Something about that's always like such a dad thing, you know?
Yeah.
Such like a middle aged man thing.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to naming my. I don't even have a car anymore, dude.
Weird. Yeah, I know. You literally got so excited about your car. Like, I remember you, like, beamed when you told me about your car.
That was my first big purchase, dude.
I'm so excited about this car. And then you just didn't drive it, like, at all.
Yeah. Life of a Dota player, man. You just... You live inside a lot, and then you travel a decent amount, so then you don't even have your car. You don't even need
and then, and then COVID happened, so you're encouraged. So
I had that car for 3 years, and it had 13,000 miles on it.
That's so lit.
That's literally nothing. That's like 250 miles a month. You know, that's like 8 miles a day.
I mean, with my car, I mean, I just have like some shitty car that I got when I was 18, but I literally... I don't think I ever surpassed like 5,000 miles in a year or something on it. Like that was all I drove because I don't drive to work or anything. I just, all I do is go grocery shopping and like visit friends and, you know, go rock climbing, I guess. And the rock gym is 5 minutes, or it was 5 minutes away, but no longer, unfortunately.
Yeah. I wish the rock climbing gym was closer to us when we were on VGJ. We would have been able to go more often. It was like a 45-minute cab or whatever.
It was so long. I mean, that rock gym was great, though.
It was a nice rock gym. I still remember the guy that recognized us.
Yeah, well, recognized you. I don't think he recognized me.
No, I remember he recognized me, and then like I mentioned, like, yeah, there's monkeys. He's like, oh. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, that's like, I didn't know I was going to run into BSJ and monkeys at the rock climbing gym. But so next week I'm gonna be in a new house. So Callie's gonna be moving to, like, I'm gonna be living with her sometimes, but she's gonna be moving to back to the boroughs, the, you know, main Manhattan main area. So we're gonna be doing that move before I move to the Netherlands, and then I'm now gonna go to the Netherlands 2 weeks after. So let's just say I'm not particularly looking forward to like the next 3 weeks, but it's like, it's all good things, but it's like very busy.
Are you gonna be getting like a moving van or something?
Yeah, we hired movers. We have movers that are gonna help us, and then we're gonna like transport all of our like computer stuff ourselves, but it shouldn't be too bad. The fact that it's like 5-10 miles, but in New York, you know, 5-10 miles is pretty far.
Dude, the climbing gym was like 3 miles away from us, and it was literally 45 minutes to get there.
Like, I remember we were looking somewhere to go, Collie and I, like for a restaurant, and it was 3 miles. Or sorry, no, it was a 5 minute drive and a 2 minute walk.
Mm-hmm. Wait.
Because of like all the one ways, you had to go, we had to go like 4 blocks, and it was like 2.5 times as long of a drive as it was a walk. Just got rated by Dubu. Welcome to all the new Dubu viewers. That's a TI player right there. Congratulations, sir.
True. Congrats,
Dubu. Yeah, it's very hype, dude. Thanks for the ride. We're undefeated. Just about to 9-0. I'm not trying to like harp on anyone else, but Undying was definitely the convincingly third best team, I thought, throughout the course of the DPC. You know, they were the ones giving EG and Quincy Crew a run for their money, and it's nice to see that they kept that despite having fallen short.
Like there was a BTS tournament or something, or like one of the summits that happened like in between seasons, where I think the Zoomers won the tournament over Undying. So like I was maybe expecting like a bit of a fight out of Zoomers. But I mean, then again, they literally dropped the game to like every single team they played.
Yeah, I saw they even lost to Arkosh.
Right, they dropped a game to Arkosh, dropped a game to us, dropped a game to
I don't think dropping a game to you guys is nearly as bad as dropping a game to Arkosh. Just saying.
I mean, maybe that's true. I mean, Aoi did ask for pause 5 Kunkka, so and not only did he ask for it, but he was reciprocated by actually getting it.
Oh, man. Yeah, Slax is a king at making some good memes. Putting a very normal human being on a team of demons is something that will get you some good content. But sure. I think that's going to be it for us this week. It's been a nice podcast as always, buddy. Like I said, next week I'll be somewhere different. But just in case you guys want to make sure you follow us and everything, it is on my second YouTube that all the videos get uploaded to. So exclamation point, second YouTube, if you guys want to make sure you see any podcasts in the past. And we also get uploaded to all the Spotify's and iTunes and all that kind of stuff under Prediction. You can find us there. And we also have a Patreon if you want to support it. You know, no pressure. It's the same Patreon as my coaching. There's just little options to support this if you so choose. Thanks for watching, everybody. Any final words, my man?
Nope. Just happy to do it with you as always, BSJ. The podcast.
Phew. The podcast. As always, buddy. See you later. See you next time. Love you, bud.
Have a good one.